Let me read you the climax of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. So we're going to have that in our minds. This is a book that was written in troubled times. And I think we will see there are so many parallels to the world that we live in, so that we will get help from this book, so that we can live by faith in times of trouble. Well, let's turn to our scripture passage, this book of Habakkuk, and we'll ask for God's help as we open it up. Lord, thank you that you have put your word in writing so that we can get hold of it, believe it for ourselves, run with it, and share it with other people, because you are a good God. And we want to hold on to the truths that you've revealed, that they may do us good and bring hope in times of trouble. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I've called this talk, Wait for It, because there are many things that we need to wait for. Yes, we can know God's goodness now, but it's always going to be a mix. But the best is still to come, and we can wait for it in anticipation. So we're going to see something of this message of Habakkuk this morning. I don't know how you feel when you're watching the news and when you see what's going on in the world. It's been pretty grim, hasn't it, for a while. Our internal politics have not been something to make us feel proud as a nation. And then we look at all that's going on in the world, you know, see what's happening in Ukraine with Russia. And that's just because it's been brought up so close, because all over the world there have been wars. And it's dreadful we saw it, didn't we? There was, again, it's not the rights and wrongs and which side's right or wrong. It's the dreadfulness, as you saw. Again, Israel taking out a Palestinian guy, which may have been the right thing to do, but you're blasting where people live. It's awful, isn't it? That's war. It's horrible. And then, of course, the threats are rising with China. Yeah. It's a dreadful time. But we shouldn't be surprised. Jesus told us that there would be these difficult times, and indeed there's every anticipation that it might get worse till he comes. So these are times to lift up our eyes, because we wait for it, and it may not be too long. We wait for the day of his appearing. There's so much wrong, and we pray, but God doesn't seem to do anything. Do you ever feel that?
Yeah.
I do. We wait, we pray, and sometimes heaven seems silent. Well, if you do feel like that, you're in good company, because that's where Habakkuk was at the beginning of his book. We read these words: "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out violence?" By the word, that word is Hamas. Interesting, isn't it? Cry out violence, but you do not listen, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Isn't that something that we could be saying today? Isn't that a prayer that we can be praying today? Isn't it great that we have God's word that we can pray and take these things and know that this is a prayer God wants to hear? He's put it in his word. We can be honest and pray about our real concerns. And what's God's response? Here it is. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told, I am raising up the Babylonians. And that makes Habakkuk really wonder, what, the Babylonians? I thought you were going to come in and do something wonderful and save us. I'm raising up the Babylonians. That would be the equivalent of I'm raising up the Russians or I'm raising up the Chinese, the superpower that we might feel most frightened about. God says, I'm raising up the Babylonians. And Habakkuk not only is puzzled, but he expresses his puzzlement to God. How can you, a holy God, use them? Here's his words. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you, or perhaps we, will never die. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute, that says judgment, I just got it wrong, but execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. You're a holy God, and you're using them to discipline your people? Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? You know, we may be bad, and Habakkuk is in no doubt that God's people have been rebellious. They deserve his discipline. He knows that they're going to be taken out of the land as a punishment. It had happened to the northern kingdom, and now it's going to happen to Judah. But them? How can you, God, use them? And then he says, chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. That, by the way, is called Loris Tower, and that's in Shrewsbury Castle. So it's one of the best viewpoints. If you come to visit us, I'll take you there so that we can see all around the area. And that's the picture. I'll get up on the ramparts, I'll stand up on the highest place, and I'll wait and see what God is going to do, what the answer is going to be. And here it is. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. So God is saying to him, write this down. And I think this is how we've got this little book of Habakkuk. Write this down and put it on tablets. And that's a bit like putting it on placards round the walls. It's, in other words, Habakkuk is a book of the sort of headlines. This was a book that was written at the same time, basically, as the prophet Jeremiah. I'm reading through Jeremiah just now. And if you think that Habakkuk's tough going, Jeremiah's even tougher. He's the real weeping prophet. But Jeremiah is such a big, long book. And Habakkuk gives us the abbreviated version. This is the Reader's Digest of the prophet Jeremiah, if you like. This is the headlines. This is the main points. That's why I'm sure John and I were both wanting to preach on it, because you can take this away. Write it down so that someone can run with it. You get the message in a little book like Habakkuk. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. This short book is about the end. The end of Babylon, to start with. And you know how Babylon, it was the superpower of the day. They took Israel off into captivity. But you know how it came to an end? Book of Daniel, Belshazzar's feast. They're using the Lord's vessels to worship and have they're getting drunk and all the rest of it. And a writing, man's hand on the wall. You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. And that very night, Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. And he was the one who sent them back, assuming Darius and Cyrus may be the same. Anyway, this was the change, the end of Babylon. But the end of Babylon, because the theme of Babylon goes right back to the Tower of Babel, yeah? Because that's when they all started to babble in different languages, the Tower of Babel. And it ends in the book of Revelation, where Babylon stands for all of the powers that are there without God and set against God. Fallen is Babylon the Great. And then the city of God. God at last dwelling among his people and wiping every tear from their eyes. The revelation waits for the end. So wait for it, because this will be the end. Wait for it. So what are we to do while we wait? Habakkuk 3 verse 16. By the way, I cited Habakkuk in the prayer. It wasn't in the sermon, but this bit about the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah, but Habakkuk. It's there, the same teaching. So what are we to do while we wait? Habakkuk 3, verse 16. I heard my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. You know, this is a man who's praying and it's affecting his whole body. He's caught up in this prayer. And yet he says, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. He had a bit of a long wait. Jeremiah was told it would be 70 years, which is why Daniel was praying, because he saw it 70 years from the prophecy. Come on then, Lord. He's praying. So he's saying, I'll wait. He probably didn't see the end of this in his lifetime. But he was waiting, still on tiptoes, waiting on the Lord. So what are we to do while we wait? Three very simple lessons. Well, we can pray, but we should pray with an open Bible. How has God acted in the past? That's what we need to be asking, because God has a tremendous track record and he doesn't change. See how God has acted in the past by reading the Bible. Here's how Habakkuk puts it. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. And as you read through Habakkuk's prayer, you see that it's full of references to the Exodus story, where the people of God were brought through the Red Sea and on to Sinai, where they were given the law. But the deliverance of Israel meant the judgment on Egypt. Remember the plagues? Remember the Passover, firstborn in every house? Remember the Red Sea, which opened up for Israel to walk through and closed on Pharaoh and his horses? And you see the poetry of how he turns this round, and even you, God, you are trampling on the seas, your chariots and your horses. But it's all bound up in the language of the Exodus, but also that other great splitting of the seas, when God at the creation formed dry land out of the seas. There's creation references. And then there's the flood. That's another sign of God's judgment. Remember Noah? The whole world judged, but God made a way through the flood and kept Noah and his family safe out of the time of judgment. And he's saying, this is how I've heard of your fame. Creation, the flood, the Exodus. You're the God who did all that. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. It won't be exactly the same. You know, the creation and the Red Sea were not exactly the same act. But it's God working in mighty power, bringing judgment, right judgment, but also deliverance, safety, salvation for his people. God's judgment and deliverance. Do it again in our time. In wrath, remember mercy. And of course, the ultimate place where we see the judgment of God revealed is the cross. As there the Lamb of God bears the sin of the world, and God's judgment is poured out on his lovely son. He comes under the curse of sin for us, because cursed is he who hangs on a tree. But this is, as the hymn says, the trysting place where heaven's love and heaven's justice meet, because this is the place where Jesus died so we don't have to die. So we can be saved. We trust in him. His death was for me. Lord, we want you to come and judge, but oh, we so want people still to come to the place of safety, because Jesus has borne the judgment, and it's good enough for the sins of the whole world if people will just come. If we'll just come. So today, don't be afraid of God's judgment. Come and trust in Jesus, because there's safety there. But there will be judgment on this world. There's got to be. There's got to be, or God wouldn't be God. Second thing, be realistic about the present. The words we began the service with, though the fig tree doesn't bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. The fig tree and the vine were both the symbols of Israel. And they're basically saying, you know, if we don't have any of the good things that you've promised, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Now, this is not cheap joy. This is not Habakkuk saying, oh, no, all things work together for good for those who love God. It'll be okay. Come on, cheer up, guys. No, this is a man who has come to this place of trembling and quivering before God, because he's just so conscious of the bigness of the issues. And he's been praying these prayers. How long? And you're not listening, Lord. And the Babylonians, he's praying about the things that are going on in his world and taking them so seriously. And he's saying, if they come and they absolutely devastate the land and we've got nothing left, yet still rejoice in the Lord, because he's my Savior, and because he will keep me safe, I will be joyful in him. It's a place that he comes to. In other words, he's helping us to see how we can pray First thing is, bring your complaints to God. You know, what we so easily do, and it's not just about the weather, we do it about the politics as well, we can grumble to one another. Whereas what God really wants us to do is to say, oh Lord, they had real problems with lies in America, and we've had real problems with lies in our government. Lord, there's no point grumbling to one another, but we want truth. We can't complain that the Russians are making up falsehood when we have our own falsehood. Lord, do something. We pray. We cry out to him. We bring our complaints to God. And we learn, as Habakkuk learned, from the Psalms in particular, that lament leads to joy. Read the Psalms, pray the Psalms, pray them one after the other, because they've been put into our Bibles in an order to help us to take time to really lament over the things we face, the troubles we face personally, the troubles in the world, but to bring us through to a place of joy. Habakkuk is a little book. He's got the headlines. The Psalms gives us something to pray day after day after day. Lament leads to joy. And I'm preaching this to me because I want to have more joy in God. But we sometimes need to go deeper to lament over our sin, to lament over the sin of the world, that we might know his mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And finally, our security is in God alone. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. God does not change. And what Habakkuk is doing, even in these last words of his book, he's clearly echoing earlier scripture. So, for example, God has given his word. Let me read to you. You don't need to turn it up just now, but you might like to later. Here's Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you and you will tread on their heights. See what Habakkuk's saying? He enables me to tread on the heights. He's saying, I'm going to hang on to the promises of Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29. But Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 29 comes after Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 1 to 28. Surprise, surprise. And it's as you read that, you see how God is blessing his people. And you read the previous chapter, and it's just as good as Moses gives them a song to sing. And if they don't actually believe it, it'll speak against them. And it sums up the whole book of Deuteronomy. In other words, God has given his covenant promises to his people. There's safety if you follow me, but watch out if you don't. That's what he's doing. He's given his word, and Habakkuk is holding on to it, saying, Lord, this is what you've said. You make my feet to tread on the heights. Or take this one. Line up with the faithful. Let me read to you from Psalm 18. And if you don't know Psalm 18, it's one of the ones you really want to use. You can see when you're reading Habakkuk, he's been praying Psalm 18. He's been praying Psalm 68 and praying Psalm 77 as well. But he's certainly been praying Psalm 18, and it's one of the great ones that we see the fulfillment in Jesus. It's a great psalm. Please read Psalm 18. It's a wonderful one. But here it is. Verse 33, does it say? 32, 33. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He causes me to stand on the heights. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. Goof up the reading, but you get it, don't you? He's the one. And Habakkuk is praying. This is the psalm he's singing and saying, oh, that's what David could say. You're the God of David. He makes my feet to stand on the heights. I can have these feet like a feet of a deer. You know what it means? I've been up mountains in Switzerland, generally in a cable car, by the way, looking down. But you see these little mountain goats on the side of a hill, and it's a real cliff edge, and they're fine. Yeah? So whatever the danger, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. I can trample on the heights, and it's going to be okay. Trust him. The most famous verse from Habakkuk in the New Testament is, the righteous will live by faith. He who through faith is righteous will live. Paul and the writer of the Hebrews toss this around and make you think about it. God is faithful. He sticks by his word, so you can trust him. Have faith in God, because he is a faithful God. So, though the supermarket shelves are empty, and there is no petrol at the pump, though energy bills go through the roof, and global insecurity escalates, though the fields are parched, and the pandemic doesn't end, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior.